I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, hour number two, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney here on this Thursday. Week three begins tonight. A revitalized Sam Darnold and that sick Panthers D. They're pretty stacked on defense. So that'll be a little fun. I think they're going to get after the Texans from the jump and probably pound them, but we'll see. And, of course, Teague and I is always coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need cash out of your home, but a simple way to get it, Rocket can. We'll actually wedge in a little baseball this hour. The wild card, America League, coming down to the end. Yanks and the Red Sox. Oh, Yanks, that's why we got you, Garrett Cole. That's why you're getting the ball tomorrow night, buddy. Red Sox starting to hit as well, so that should be a lot of fun, Sear. All sorts of fun out in Fenway next couple of days. It's just a great time to be a sports fan.
Yeah.
College football, NFL, Ryder Cup begins tomorrow. Teague and I touched on that in the first hour. Welcome in TV, by the way. We did not have TV for the first hour, so hopefully everybody that was with us on the radio side has now jumped in to the TV side as well. So, all right, I want to know what kind of mood our next guest is in. You know, he's usually upbeat. He's usually on point. Very, you know, very salient take. Smart guy. We like him. We respect him. But if he ain't a little alarmed as to what he's watching from a Steeler so far, then I'm going to know that he's just a full-fledged homer. Like, that's all there is to it. Let's see if there's an ounce of objectivity in the mind of which there should be. Bryant McFadden, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst, who does a great job, and is with us once again here on Tiki and Tierney. Bryant, how you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. So who's quarterback in the Steelers in November? Because from what I'm seeing, I'm not so sure it's going to be Ben.
I hope it's Ben. I mean, if you don't have Ben, clearly you don't have a shot of winning meaningful ball games without him. But I hope it is Big Ben. I think most importantly right now, you know, I know he's been facing a lot of criticism, but the offensive line hasn't done him any favors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he got hit over 10 times last week by the Raiders. He was sacked twice, but he got hit over 10 times. I mean, when you talk about a veteran quarterback at his stage in his career, you know, when you have to have sound structure in front of you to be able to be successful. Look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not a mobile guy. We know he's been a statue throughout the majority of his career.
Yep.
But his offensive line unit do a great job in making sure he's comfortable. And that has to be the case in Pittsburgh if they expect to see better numbers coming from number seven.
I'm messing with you. I mean, I want to see Ben, you know, get it together. Who knows if he's even playing next year. But if this is it, I'd like to see him have, you know, one more good season. Great respect for a future Hall of Famer. The guy's a gamer. But what surprises me, Brian, for a great franchise like the Steelers, and we don't throw that around loosely, they are a great franchise. It is mind-bendingly boggling, if that makes any sense, to me, that last year they couldn't get the tough yard on the ground, they couldn't pass protect, and here we are, once again, you know, pretty much bottom five win rate, pass and run block. I mean, the offensive line seemed, it's early, but it looks like it's bad again. How? And they got different players on it.
Yeah, well, I think the continuity, the lack thereof, is definitely showing up. You got so many new faces on the offensive line. The chemistry and the rhythm clearly is not there. But the thing is, last year, you remember, they weren't playing outstanding football in the beginning of the season a year ago, but they were winning ball games. But things kind of slowed down towards the latter part of last year, and it became a big, big deal. It became a big talking point for all of us. I think right now for the offensive line, they got to come together. Because that offense will only go as the offensive line goes. And if they continue to struggle, Najee Harris, who we all believe in, we know has the talent to be a real big-time like player at the running back position, he will look average. The wide receivers will look average. So to answer your question, the problem is the individuals that's in the uniform that's playing the offensive line, they all got to look themselves in the mirror and play better football.
Yeah, and that's hard to do when you don't get a ton of time in the offseason or in the preseason and you don't play in the preseason games and now you're just thrown into the fire. So, I hope they get better as the year goes on because everybody wants to see Big Ben go out the right way. But really, the Steelers are going to win with their defense. I mean, they've been fantastic. the last couple of years until they suffered all those injuries last year. But this year, I mean, they look back to these old school Steelers defense. Mike Tomlin doesn't get enough credit for what he does defensively. I know a lot of people think he's just a cheerleader coach, but he's actually in that meeting room and he's calling plays and he's involved. It's good to see him, and I know you agree with this, back to having those defenses that matter and mean something in the NFL.
No question. He's a defensive-minded coach. He's coming from a defensive side, you know, being a secondary guy in Tampa and then becoming a D.C. in Minnesota before coming to Pittsburgh to be the head C. So, no question. I mean, he's a guy that understands defense. He's very, very instinctive. Mike T and Coach Tom and Coach Kyra has similar traits when it comes to expectations on the defensive side. They love having tough football players play defense. Big guys that can run. That has always been the M.O. in Pittsburgh, and he's been able to continue to put that type of player on the defensive side. And I can tell you this much, the thing about Pittsburgh, and I love, because I'm a defensive-minded guy, Tiki, I'm sorry to say that, but
yeah,
defense
win good.
Championships. That has been the structure for the organization. Physical, beat-you-up type defense. You know, we don't want to finesse you. We want to take you in a back alley and swing on you until you fall down. They got to get back to doing that, but if they don't, I don't know if the offense right now can bail them out. We saw last week against the Raiders because of the injuries. You went in the game without Joe Hayden. You went into the game without Devin Bush. And then you lost TJ.
Yep.
I mean, defensively, they had some issues, but the offense was not there to back them. And that could be something that we need to monitor throughout the season, especially if the defensive players don't get healthy.
So we're talking to Brian McFadden. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Brian, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst and a Super Bowl champ, former Steeler.
Yep, this game tonight, Brian, is really interesting because I don't think people saw Carolina's defense being as stout as it is. Currently number one, points number one overall. And Phil Snow, in his second year as a defensive coordinator, has exactly what you would want. He's got edge rushers. He's got a young secondary that's aggressive and a good linebacking core at the same time. Did you expect this? I mean, I don't think anybody saw the Carolina Panthers starting 2-0 and winning. You know, the Jets are what they are, but the Saints has come off a beating of the Green Bay Packers, and they basically handled them. They only had 128 total yards, did New Orleans. So, I mean, is this surprising, or should we have expected this in Carolina?
You know what? I expect a good sound play, definitely an improvement from a year ago, but I'm surprised to see how well they've been able to dominate. And I know people would say, well, they played the Jets, and we know the Jets is basically a homecoming for any team they're playing.
All right, keep moving, keep it moving.
You know, they get paid, too. They get nice checks over there, too. And then looking at what they did against a disadvantage, to say the least, Saints team with all the players, I mean the staff members that weren't able to travel.
Great point.
They just dominated. And that's still a divisional foe, and they know each other extremely well. They just dominated. So me personally, I'm surprised to see how well they've been able to dominate. But I can tell you this much. This has been a structure they put in place over the last year and a half. Because you remember, if you go back to last year's draft, they devoted all their draft picks basically on the defensive side.
That's right.
No, not basically. Not basically. Every one of them, man.
Every one of them. I just wanted to make sure I give myself some leeway. Speaking of offensive player at the back end, I want to give myself some leeway. But you look at what they did, Derrick Brown. You look at Jeremy Chinn, who's a Swiss Army knife. I mean, if football had a 5'2 player, 5'2 player, that would be Jeremy Chinn because he can do so much. Then you look at Brian Burns, one of the more elite up-and-coming pass rushers that no one is talking about in the National Football League. And J.C. Horn, man, he's a dog. J.C. Horn is a guy you want to get in the back alley and fight with because he's going to go with you from start to finish, and he's a guy that can eliminate any opposing wide receiver's top number one guy because he plays with that confidence. So I love everything about their structure, and they got I don't want to say they have a homecoming game tonight, but I can tell you this much. I got them in my fantasy lineup because I'm expecting big things from the Panthers' defense, and this probably will – because I don't see Mills putting up any points against this outstanding team that he's going to be going against. Oh, by the way, they also lead the league in sacks, 10 sacks in 2 ball games.
That's right.
Got to mention that.
Yeah, listen, I'll just be more direct. Lay the 8 points. They're going to absolutely destroy this team. You know, the Texans are going to get their doors blown off tonight. I feel like they're going to get a touchdown defensively. 34-17, 37-13. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a wide gap. But from the Carolina Panthers, an ascending team, to another team that has started well before and has been here before, but it feels a little different to us. Now, you watched every snap with the Steelers and the Raiders. The Raiders right now, from scheme, what you see in the trenches, the character, the depth, Do you think that this is truly sustainable, or is there another second-half swoon coming for the boys in the desert?
Yo, for Raider Nation, please don't have a second-half slump. I mean, the last 2 years, like you said, they started off on fire. And then they slow down and just cut the grill all the way off with no fire because they just, you know, they become a bit stagnant. So for Raider Nation, hopefully they can sustain this level of play. But one thing that I see that is different from the other years, right, defensively, they can get after you. They fight. They got a lead dog on the defensive line in Max Crosby. You know what I mean? He's a guy who plays with a lot of effort, and I love that about him. He never takes a play off, and he's like the lead singer of the group. Everybody else follows suit and play their role. So that has been a difference, I think, compared to what we've seen in years past from Raider teams. Defensively, they really have what it takes to be able to create plays and create pressure. Now, my concern for Raider Nation, right, they've been able to be 2-0 play against two playoff-caliber teams and beat them. On the arm of Derek Carr, can he sustain that level of play? Because right now the running game has been absent. It hadn't shown up at all. Can he sustain his level of play with so much being asked of him to do because the running game has been missing?
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, Josh Jacobs is banged up as well, so that doesn't even make it any better. The other undefeated team in the AFC is the Denver Broncos, Brian, and – look, they've been handed, you know, an easy beginning of the schedule. They played the Giants on the road. They went to Jacksonville on the road. Now they're home against the Jets. And then it gets a little tough because they get the Baltimore Ravens, but that's also at home. But the question here is about Teddy Bridgewater. And, I mean, he hurt his knee in Minnesota. Everybody loved him. They couldn't wait for him to get healthy and be contributor on a team. And then it's kind of like he's been done wrong every step of the way. Like, it's like, all right, we're going to move on from you. We're going to bring in whoever. And you're going to go to New Orleans. And, yeah, great, but we don't really want you. He's going to sign with Carolina. He's there for Carolina for a year. Plays okay, not great. We're going to jettison you so we can get Sam Darnold. It seems like he may have finally found a home after 4 years of bouncing around. But Teddy Bridgewater, can he be a catalyst? I mean, he looks like it so far, but can he be that guy?
No question, but to go back to what you were saying about Teddy being bounced around, it was mostly Sam Darnold. It seemed like everywhere Teddy went, Sam Darnold followed, and they had to move Teddy Bridgewater. You know, with the Jets and then with the Carolina recently.
Forgot about the Jets. Yeah. Include that.
We had him.
It's Sam Darnold who's been causing Teddy to move around, so I don't see Sam having to make a change to Denver. But to answer your question, yeah, man, Teddy is more than a serviceable quarterback. The thing that I love about Teddy, guys, he won't lose a ball game for you. And as a former defender, that's what we want. Just don't put us in a position to lose. Because we know eventually you guys will make plays. But if you put us in positions to lose or put us in difficult positions, we won't win. We won't win ball games in the National Football League. And what he's doing also in Denver, compared to what he wasn't able to do in Carolina, he's pushing the football down the football field.
Yeah.
Because he has guys that can go get it. And I'm not saying that he didn't have the type of players that can get it, but he didn't have the comfort level to be able to attack and be more aggressive. Courtland Sutton, healthy, he can go.
Yep.
And we know about Jerry Jeudy. Of course, he will be on the shelf for quite some time.
Yep.
Hamler, Patrick, and Noah Fant. That's something that he missed last year in Carolina, tight end production.
That's right.
Noah Fant can be a real big-time player, especially in the seams, in between the 20s, doing damage for his quarterback. And that's who he has the luxury of throwing the football, too. And I can tell you this much. This is a team that people need to monitor. I know we just highlighted the Raiders.
Yeah.
But if you look at the AFC West, when it comes to potential and when it comes to nice play, taking advantage of the opportunity that they've had, I mean, this could be a competitive division throughout the course of the year.
Brian, last thing for me. We're talking to our buddy Brian McFadden, HQ NFL analyst, CBS Sports. I know the record's 0-2. I know the stats on both sides of the ball are horrendous, but aside from that, what are you observing from a distance, granted, but the early foundation of culture down in Jacksonville, what Urban's trying to do, is the message resonating? Will it eventually resonate? What do you see so far with the Jacks?
I see a horror movie that will be bad from start to finish. Ooh. I don't see any positivity right now.
Wow.
I mean, and you know, when you look at some horror movies, you see people escape whatever it is they're running from. I don't think they're going to run from what they're trying to escape in Duval County right now because of the thing about college coaches that are successful in the National Football League, they put people that's around them that they've been in the league for quite some time. They know how the league is going. I saw a clip from, I think it was last week's game when Jacksonville played Denver, and he, in the beginning of the game with Coach Vangio, Vic Vangio from the Broncos, he mentioned him. He's like, man, it's like I'm playing against Alabama every week. They're five stars everywhere on the football field. I mean, wait a minute. You didn't already assume that? You didn't already think that? Like, when I heard that, and I hope he was joking, making that statement, but it was just, I was so dumbfounded. I'm like, yo, this is the National Football League. This is not the Big Ten. This is not the SEC. Every team has elite high-level players regardless of the record, and you should attack them in that way. So me personally, when I heard that, I'm like, well, he was thinking about just because the team is such and such, they might not have elite-type players. No, this is the National Football League. But I don't see anything changing in Jacksonville, guys.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
My thought process is this. He can say whatever he want to say. Urban Meyer is mad that he accepted the Jacksonville Jaguars job when he did, because if he would have known that SC job would be open, he would definitely be there or be a candidate for that job and probably would take it.
Yeah.
Because in college football, TK, you know about this. You can control everything
as a
head coach.
That's right.
You control everything.
Especially,
you don't control everything in the National Football League, especially if you're a rookie coach.
Yeah, and he's got Trent Baalke as his guy. Down
my old
there,
buddy from San Francisco, Trent.
Yeah, it's just it's I agree with you. It's going to be ugly down there in Jacksonville. Brian, we appreciate you, my friend. Be well, man.
All right, thank you for having me.
You got
take
it.
Take care.
Really good.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. From the first time he was on, he was good, and he's become really good every time. Better and better and better. Great spot. Love having him on. All right, coming up, Yanks Red Sox down to the wire. We'll certainly hit that. We'll do a little wild card. I mean, it's very rare we get a chance to squeeze in some baseball, but we'll do that with the big weekend series up in Fenway this weekend. But also, how seriously should we take the Cardinals? They are rolling. Can they actually win it? A little baseball next. Hickey and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sunday, the NFL's on CBS. Plenty of marquee matchups coming up. Early action, the Chargers and the Chiefs, and then a little AFC North battle as the Bengals, Burrow's Bengals, and Big Ben Steelers hook up. Later, the Jets go to Mile High, take on the Denver Broncos, or the Dolphins. The Dolphins' O-line's caving in. They're taking on the Raiders, who are vibing. 2-0 for the Las Vegas Raiders, obviously, Dolphins trying to get a win without Tua. Looked awful. Shut out 35-0 this past weekend to the Bills. But we're getting to, even though it's very early, there's some pretty important games coming up. And they're on CBS, all beginning at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. with the NFL Today. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. All right. I am under no illusions. Number one, the last time I watched Gerrit Cole pitch, he got rocked. The last month of Yankee baseball, I've seen the Mets beat the Yankees twice. I was at a game at the stadium. The Orioles beat them. Mm-hmm. They barely beat them 2 out of 3. The one game I went to, they lost. But Yankees needed extra innings in Baltimore. Yankees won last night, so they swept Texas. But twice they failed to get guys over from third base. You know, 3-3 game, seventh inning on. They eventually piled on, and they won going away. Everybody, you know, hit a couple of bombs. Sanchez, a cosmetic shot. The Yankees have not played crisp baseball all year. Mm-mm. You know, they just haven't. Their run differential is plus 34, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
Plus 34.
As many home runs as they hit, right?
Oh, it's amazing. It really is. And you look at the snapshot. There's the Sanchez home run. That was a nice one, dead center. If you look at the broad snapshot for baseball this year, really outside of the Tampa Rays, the White Sox now, who have maybe some issues with Rondon banged up.
Yeah.
The Dodgers have been very good, but, you know, the Padres have melted. And now we've got to insert a suddenly red-hot Cardinals team into the Cardinals have won 11 straight, dude.
I know.
11 straight games for the St. Louis Cardinals.
You're right. And they're currently in the wild card conversation in the NL. And, you know, it's interesting because I think back to how last year's wild card worked, and it's confusing me how this year's wild card is going to work. And so I got to reprogram my mind because remember last year it was three game series, mm-hmm. a series of three game series that determined what the wild card round would actually look like. Mm-hmm. So it's just confusing to think about it last year, which was great, by the way.
I actually enjoyed it,
and I thought they should maybe think about that more permanently. Cut the season down and do it that way, but it's back to normal. And St. Louis is a team. I mean, they won 82 games on the season, and for a while you just thought, like, this is the year where it finally doesn't work itself out for St. Louis. But I mean, you got to give credit to this organization because every single year, I mean, it's like clockwork. At some point, whether it's early, mid, or late, usually mid or late of the season, they find the right formula to win baseball games. And part of that is the manager and Skip, but it's got to be more than that.
Definitely,
you know,
is.
Because they've changed, right? They've moved. It's different. It's now it's Shield, but before that it was who was before Shield? I forgot.
It was the former catcher. I'm just forgetting.
Oh,
Mike Matheny.
Matheny, yeah. So but even going back to those, it's the same
thing.
And then
La Russa before that.
That's exactly right. It's almost.
Go back to the White Rat. You can't. Whitey Herzog.
You can't expect them not to be there because they always find a way to get there.
Joe Torre managed the Cardinals for a couple of your people. Forget that. Joe Torre managed the Cardinals.
I did forget that.
They're confounding because, I mean, they were teetering. They were on the brink of, okay, let's not even pay attention to this team. Mm-hmm. They start the second half. They open up against the Giants. They lose. They get pounded. They lose by 5 runs. They give up a ton.
Giants are great, though.
Maybe. Yeah, no, I get you. But they fell to 44-47. And then they win the next two. You're like, well, you take 2 out of 3. And then, boom, they lose 2 out of 3 to Cincy. And they lose... You know, they lose a couple of games to the Indians, and they get swept by the Braves, and they're back below 500. And, you know, I'll be honest, it's not a team I've taken very seriously this year. And not because I didn't think that they were good. I mean, I don't think they're 11 straight good. I think you can't say 11 straight's an outlier, but I don't know that it fully reflects the totality of their talent, with all due respect, even though they're a great franchise. But I think they just blended in because... For the most, I was focused on the West.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Dodgers, and then up until 2 weeks ago, the Padres. Obviously, the Giants. You and I always pay attention to the NL East more because the Mets are mm-hmm. in our backyard, and obviously the Phillies and, the proximity there. The Nationals selling everybody, Scherzer, Trey Turner, the Cardinals have just crept in beneath the radar.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get on the air and make any bold pronouncements. They can't win.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that. I wouldn't pick them to win.
I wouldn't either.
But I'll tell you what, Teek, if the Tampa Rays don't get back to the World Series, I will be tremendously surprised.
Why is that?
Because they do everything well.
Yeah, well.
And the one thing that they do that they always do well, well, two things. They always give you professional at-bats, mm-hmm. and they always catch the baseball. And you get to October, You give a team a 28th out. You know, even something subtle like, you don't turn the double play. Guy beats it, run scores. I'm not even saying like a routine. Like a tailor-made double play. Just the little things you watch them play in October. The way they use the bullpen, the way they catch the ball, the way they run the bases. I mean, they are.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. Yeah. I'm astounded by how good they are.
I mean, you have to look at it's not dissimilar, and it's different, obviously, in football and other basketball and other sports, but Kevin Cash sets an expectation for this team, right? What are we talking? We were talking about Joe Judge. Like, we're going to tell these guys the truth. This was after their loss this past weekend to the Washington football team. And I feel like Kevin Cash is exactly that kind of Skip. Like, he tells these guys exactly what they, not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And even if the, you know, it's harsh, these guys all buy in. And none of these guys are like super highly paid. I mean, they've jettisoned all these guys that they would have to have paid a lot of money. And
Blake Snow, exactly. The latest. David Price before that. And maybe, Longoria before that.
And maybe they got rid of him at the right time. Uh-huh. Blake Snow hasn't had a great season so far.
Uh-huh.
And so I think
Adames, they traded him, the shortstop.
Exactly right. So maybe Kevin Cash just has a secret formula or something to motivation. You asked me earlier about what, you know, coaches need to have. And one of the things is motivation. For a team that you look at their roster, and I'm looking at it right now. Mm-hmm. And
by the way, Kiermaier got drilled last night.
He did.
He got drilled right in the back.
Kiermaier, that's a name you know, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But a lot of these other names, it's like, okay, these are good players. There's no superstar.
No real household names.
Yeah, that's right.
There's really not.
And so when
Charlie Morton, a lot of people know because he's been around.
Yeah.
Pitcher.
Yeah, but I mean,
played in some playoff games. Houston, he's been around. Rosarena's had some great October moments. Yeah. But no, they're relatively obscure. Relatively. I mean, if you're a big baseball fan, you know the Rays. Mm-hmm. But the average fan, or you don't see anybody with Rays jerseys walking around. You just don't see it.
No, but they're always here.
They are a pain in the behind is what they are.
That's right.
Now, I'll tell you this. The series this weekend up in Fenway, man, Aaron Boone's got a ton of pressure on him. I really don't like the way they looked, as I just mentioned before at the start of this conversation. The Rangers, you know, don't let that obscure them. Even though they swept them, every game was kind of nip and tuck. Mm-hmm. They didn't play particularly well. They didn't play well in Baltimore. Didn't play well against Baltimore at the stadium a couple of weeks back. Like, they've just been very choppy. And, you know, I don't understand how you can have... Like, this is what I don't know the answer to this. Like, I can't even hazard a guess. Like, you know, in football, mm-hmm. if you have 10 penalties, you know, sloppy, even today, you're going to get lit up.
Yeah.
You're going to get lit up in the locker room, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to still get lit up by the coach. All right. Like, if you're Aaron Boone and Gleyber Torres doesn't hustle, although he had a great slide at home plate last night, just beat the tag, and he had a big hit as well, double down the right field line, which was a big one. But he's been mentally absent this whole year. Like, does Aaron Boone light him up? Does Aaron Boone light up? Like, DJ LeMahieu's been in a season-long funk. I mean, how do you...
It doesn't feel like it.
I don't think so either.
Because here's the thing.
And that drives me crazy.
This is a cliche, and there's no way to prove it or know this. And, you know, there's nobody in the locker room that we could reach out to right now and get the answer. But we always, like, say that coaches or managers... their personality becomes the personality of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of feels like Aaron Boone's personality is the personality of the Yankees. Like, sometimes they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. They won 11 straight about a month ago.
Or, you know, you need to, we got to find ways to score runs. And you go, you know, Stanton goes yard, and then Gallo goes yard, and then.
Yeah, Gallo's starting to hit some bombs.
That's right.
Rizzo
goes the other way, and then Aaron Judge goes yard.
But
there's other times where it's, all right, you know, 0-for-4.
Yeah, and Sanchez doesn't catch a ball catchable by a 9-year-old behind the dish.
And so there might be
something. And it leads to a big inning.
There might be something to that.
Yeah.
Like the personality of the Skip kind of infiltrating the clubhouse.
But it could also work this way in a fair, and I'm not a huge Boone fan, all right? And I know every Yankee fan wants a pound of flesh, and mm-hmm. Boone gives you nothing publicly, and that's probably the best way to play it. If he gets out there in front of a microphone on Yes after a bad loss and starts lighting up Chapman or Green or Gleyber Torres, it's probably going to go sideways inside the locker room, even though Yankee fans would feel good about it. his even keel might explain the Yankees' ability to bounce back when they appear to be lifeless. Like, yeah, there's been at least three times this year where I'm like, that's it, Yankee season's over.
Yeah.
And they somehow regenerate. And if he showed anxiety or succumbed to public pressure for the pound of flesh,
I can see that.
Maybe the Yankees don't show some resilience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I don't know, but this is huge. And the only thing that, what are the, I know obviously Cole, but we'll get a little deeper. It's going to be Cole. Montgomery's pitching that last game. Mm-hmm. Should be Eovaldi for the Red Sox. Let me just get that up here, and then we'll get the update from Mac. It's got to be Eovaldi. It's Cole Eovaldi. Okay, Cortez, I'm fine with that. Montgomery, Rodriguez on Sunday. The only little break the Yankees could get, then they got to play at Toronto for three. That's not a break. But the last three games of the year, they play Tampa. And does Tampa rest some players? Because Tampa's locked up the division?
Maybe.
Or does Tampa say, you know what? We're going to stick it to you. I don't know. Tampa, knowing how they are, I can see them wanting to stick it to them.
I would agree. So, and again, the Toronto series is the important one because they're half a game up on Toronto right now.
Absolutely. Yep. But then the Rays, too. Rays are only half a game back. So it's going to be pretty congested down to the final out of the year. All right, let's get the update from ACK coming up. So the College Football Playoff Committee delayed the vote. This was supposed to be a big day yesterday on 12-team expansion. A lot of theories as to why. We'll present ours after ACK's update right now. Here's Rich.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Tiki and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Couple hours away, week three tonight. Sam Darnold, it's just even weird saying it. Sam, by the way, I have not taken down the fathead. It's still in his room. Still in his room.
The Sam Darnold fathead?
The Sam Darnold fathead is still in his room. I gotta,
he can be a fan of Sam.
Well, you know what it is? Partly derived out of laziness, because the way the paint is, even though the fatheads don't really strip away the paint, I noticed from the Kristaps Porzingis one that had stripped down, took a little bit of the paint off, and I don't really think dealing with it. Yeah. That's number one. But what I have that I've changed the nightly routine, because by my little guy's bed is the huge fathead of Sam Darnold, and on the way out the door is a little tiny fathead of Aaron Judge. And what I do is the process, and then his sister's room is right next. So, you know, back and forth, you know, we go in, when we do, we read, and then after the bath, we read, we go in, we say our prayers. And I've got a thing with him where I walk out, I say, all right, you know, before Sammy was traded, I'd give Sam a big, I'd give him, because Sam's hand is out. Like, he's getting ready to throw the ball. So I'd give him, all right, Sammy. And I'd say, so Colt can see me do, all right, yeah. Sammy, see you tomorrow, buddy. Take care of us, right? And then I'd give Judge a little pound on the way out.
Okay.
What I stopped doing, even though Sam's fat head is still there, I don't acknowledge Sam anymore. So I still do the pop with,
being a hater,
with
man.
Judge Young. No, I'm rooting for Sam. Listen, I'm betting him tonight. Like, so
give him a high five, though.
I like Sam Darnold. And ultimately, I'm going to be proven right about Sam Darnold, that Sam Darnold can play football. Everybody was telling me that Sam Darnold sucked. I said, just watch one Jets game, and you'll know that Sam Darnold's actually going to be fine, which he's been so far for the Panthers. But week three is tonight, and that is upon us. What might not be upon us here? Let me read you a little something here. This is very interesting because it did not seem as if it was going to go in this direction. The college football playoff expansion, this is from CBSSports.com, is not only delayed, but the CFP Board of Managers, those necessary to vote on adopting a 12-team playoff, will not even fly to Chicago, not even fly in, for a previously scheduled meeting on September 28th. Bill Hancock told CBS Sports late Tuesday night there was a 50-50 chance that the meeting would not take place in person. Now, there's a lot. Listen.
Yeah, there's a lot to this.
There is a lot to unpack here. I don't view this as posturing. I mean, I view this as real division, real deep division and uncertainty.
Yeah,
do you?
Well, there's just a lot of mistrust going on right now because, you know, Greg Sankey from the SEC was a big proponent of the 12-game college football playoff.
So the 12-team.
The 12-team, yep. Not game, yeah, 12-team college football playoff. And he knew, or at least there's intimations that he knew when he was negotiating the expansion of the college football playoff that Texas and Oklahoma might be coming to the SEC. Now, with that said, if Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC, the only thing that matters going forward with the college football playoff is how many SEC teams can get in.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so there's a lot of debate going on, and this is not making it to the meeting. It's happening, I think, outside of the meeting, about whether there should be automatic bids for conference champions.
Which is the direction it was leading in, for sure. And then they would get ranked,
yes.
And the top four would have byes, to my knowledge.
And the reason that they were doing 12 teams as opposed to 8 is because with 12 teams, you could have the 6 division champions, or conference champions, I should say, the 6 conference champions,
yep,
plus 6 at-large bids.
Correct.
Right? But with 8, mm-hmm, which was seemed like the next logical step, there's 6 conference champions, but only 2 at-large
and
bids.
And the SEC is going to have their hands all over it because it's the best conference in America.
And so the conversation was going, why would we reduce the at-large bids to 2 when it's currently at 4? Even though it logically doesn't make sense because we know who the 4 are going to be almost every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's kind of an impasse because of how the money is going to get split if the SEC ends up dominating all of the at-large bids, which, with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, is likely going to happen.
Are we sure about that? Well, Texas, certainly, did they get their act together
certainly,
here?
Certainly Oklahoma.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on the Sooners. Texas is going to get things going at some
point?
I don't
know. I mean, maybe. I would assume, but
why?
I don't know.
Why would you assume that? They're already going to a tougher league. They can't win in the league they're in now.
True, and they can't get a quarterback that they're convinced is going to win. So
exactly.
So I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I understand why you'd want a safeguard against the event that they do.
Oklahoma's definitely consistently good.
Yeah, now I also want to see Oklahoma's defense in the SEC.
That's right.
I mean, so I don't think that Lincoln Riley's great. Sooners offense is great. Sooners fan base is great. Sooners, everything about the Sooners, the synergy within the program is phenomenal. But do I think that you just take Oklahoma and remove them from the Big 12 and drop them in the SEC and they're as dominant? No, not even close.
No, I don't think so either.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, even Spencer Rattler, as good as he is and maybe the best quarterback. I don't even know.
Nah, I keep getting my guy from Liberty.
Yeah, Malik Willis.
Willis for the former Auburn kid.
Yeah,
he's the guy who I think is going first. By the way.
Yeah, but he's little, man.
So is Rattler.
I agreed. I don't like any of these guys anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is a weird year for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, just as an aside, like you look at the top rated quarterbacks, there's nobody you would think of.
You know what though? Last year at this time, were we talking about Zach Wilson going second overall, or Trey Lance going third? These things always generate momentum.
Trevor Lawrence was probably the only give me, but that I mean, we knew that from his freshman season.
Correct.
Whenever he comes into the NFL, he's going to be the number one pick. He literally knew that when he was 18 years old. Justin Fields maybe got some momentum.
He had momentum
because Ohio State was so good.
Uh huh.
Even though they didn't play great at the end of last season, but still, you're right. Like their guys are going to come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're only 3 weeks in to college. It's a week ahead of the NFL. So we're only 3 weeks into college, minus that week 0. So yeah, they're still developing some of these talents. Spencer, though, I thought would be elite. Like he'd be climbing the
mocks.
Yeah, the perception board, and it's just not quite happening.
No, yet. He's definitely not jumping up the boards. I mean, I think there's a little stagnation actually when it comes to the buzz around him.
Yeah,
a little stagnation right now.
I think you're right.
But, I mean, listen, back to what we started the conversation with. I mean, I love 12 teams.
I think it's phenomenal. I think it's great.
It opens up everything. It opens up for a school like Memphis or a Cincinnati or a UCF years ago or a Boise State. Like, I love that possibility. We want that.
It doesn't automatically exclude the Group of Five schools.
No.
And look,
it shouldn't.
Of course. The Group of Five schools are never going to consistently be there. You're not going to get like just use Cincinnati. You're not going to get Cincinnati every year. Cincinnati's competing for the college football. It'll be like, all right, Cincinnati's there for a couple of years, and then they'll fall off, and maybe it's Houston
or Coastal Carolina
or BYU
not
BYU now because BYU's joining the Big 12.
That's
right?
True. Well, we think.
Well, they've been approved. They've accepted. It still has to go through all the process.
Yep.
But yeah, your point is correct. It's like I think that is what makes it interesting. Because one of those teams, like a BYU or Houston or Cincinnati, could just have a phenomenal year. Like, they have a full senior class of 22 returning, starters. There's, 12 seniors and 8 juniors, 2 of them redshirted, right? A phenom freshman. This team could be
great transfer.
Exactly. This team could beat anybody.
Uh-huh.
As it currently exists, It'll never happen.
Which is why it's patently offensive, like as a sports fan, to compare the NCAA tournament in hoops to what football does.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine a world where UMBC didn't have the chance to be? Now, I'm sure that you would love to admit that, but I mean, the point is,
I love that part of our history.
We
lost, but then we came and won.
No, we know we won the championship.
But you're right. But if UMBC you're a group of. You're not even.
You don't belong here. Get lost. Go play in the NIT. We don't serve your kind. Like the line in Star Wars, we don't serve his kind. Get him out of the bar, right, with the animals and all. And like to me, that's such the appeal. Now, as I've said many times, although college basketball has changed radically in terms of the balance of power the last 10, 12, 15 years, you do run the risk of that small team having this unprecedented run, like George Mason getting to the Final Four in 2004. And getting their doors blown off and having a non-competitive national semifinal. But you could have a non-competitive if Michigan State plays UNC.
That's right.
I mean, so to play under the umbrella of Division I and not have a chance to win the championship is fundamentally wrong.
I agree.
At its core.
I agree. So either change that. And give them their own championship.
No, that doesn't even work for me. I don't want that.
I agree.
No, not their own. I want the championship.
I agree. Let them all have a shot. Because you're right. I see all these, these kids, and I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I see them playing for some smaller school. And I'm like, wasn't that kid wasn't he at Oklahoma? Right? Or wasn't that guy at USC? And because these kids transfer now, and the transfer can turn a Group of Five, suboptimal team into a really good squad.
Mm-hmm. Has Liberty had some transfers besides the quarterback? I'm sure they have. They've been good for a couple of years, I'm sure they've benefited from the transfer portal.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Even Oregon. I mean, Oregon's quarterback, Anthony Brown, I think his last name is Brown, even though he's hurt right now, he transferred. Big schools can benefit from the transfer. The smaller schools can too. But as it pertains to the college football playoff, it gives those smaller schools at least a shot. And I think that should be rewarded. That's why going to 12 is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just so much uncertainty and mistrust with how this process is playing itself out that they've delayed the vote. And I don't blame them.
And it's the only sport like this. I mean, I love the College World Series. Yeah. I watch it every year, right? And every year, whether it's Army or my school, Marist, which has gone to the regionals a bunch of times, or Wagner, or Stony Brook years ago. Remember Stony Brook had the sick run to the World Series? Like, I know that this seems like so unimportant, but for the student athletes, it's not. Like when we would start practice in February, we, as unrealistic as it was, certainly now looking back then you don't think that, we're like, hey man, we're going down, and you and I were talking about this during the break, like we're playing NC State and North Carolina, and they're ranked, and East Carolina, and if we win one or two games, and we come back and win the division, we'll go to the regionals. Like you're not thinking that you're going to stink, even though we usually did. You're thinking that maybe we can capture something special.
That's right.
And to not hit the football field in late July or August as a unit with a tangible destination that you're pursuing is ridiculous.
Yeah, even if it's just a pipe dream.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
It goes against everything that the NCAA should stand for.
That's right.
I mean, the pursuit of dreams.
That's right.
I mean, really, as corny as that sounds, that's what you want. You want a chance to play for the dream.
What will really help this is if one of these schools actually becomes so great that they force the hand of the NCAA, the other schools.
Now, again, what do you mean? In what way?
UCF. Remember UCF a
couple
years ago?
National champions. They claimed the national championship.
What if they had actually been good enough to beat one of these teams?
But they might have been.
They might have been, but still.
That's my point. We'll never, why couldn't they have been that team?
That's a good point.
You know, it's raining out. You score first. I mean, all of a sudden, you got a veteran team. Who knows? Yeah. So anyway,
I hope we get the opportunity to see that.
What's your final verdict? Do we do 12 or 8? What it's
12.
All said? Yeah, I agree with
definitely
you.
Definitely got
to
do 12.
I agree with you. I know we want to, but you think that's what's going to happen.
I think that's what they want to happen. But now there's distrust that the SEC is going to load the at-large because they have all the great teams.
But is it resolved eventually, whether it's in 6 months, is it 12 teams when it's all said and done?
I think it's 12. I don't think it can be 8.
I agree with you. All right, remember how great Josh Allen was a year ago? He was awesome. Chasing the MVP. Not quite as great this year. What is up? Josh Allen actually talked about it. We'll hit that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.